Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nicholas Clark. I'm an extension advisor in the Central Valley of California. The research that I'm going to present today is a snippet of some of the recent stuff that I've been a part of as a research associate with the University of California in a program where we're doing traditional breeding for resistance to Fusarium race 4 in both Pima and Upland types of cotton. And just to translate for you what the title means, because it's got a lot of $20 words in it, but all it's really trying to say is we wanted to take a look at how well we were doing for our own purposes with the rating systems that we were employing for measuring disease severity and other variables within a year and in the field when we do our field screening trials. Okay. So just really quick, Fusarium race 4 in California has been around for just over 2 decades. And it's distinguished from the other races there in that we see it express disease even in some of the finer textured soils and in the absence of root knot nematode. But it's also a little bit more virulent than the other races. Right. And yield depression, of course, is going to come from stand loss with this disease. And this photograph just shows we've got these four adjacent plots here in the Pima planted portion of our variety field, the difference between relative severity and susceptibility and resistance between these four different Pima lines, and that you could have total wipeout in terms of stand loss. But also some of the other variables that we look at when we go out and we evaluate all of these lines are some growth and development variables, such as height, no counts, so forth. And this photograph just shows the difference between what we would call, these are two moderately susceptible lines, but the difference between a Pima and an Upland of those classes of disease susceptibility. You can see that the Pima on the left shows a greater susceptibility to stunting at whatever this disease pressure is in this field here. Now, the breeding program that I'm talking about, this in California is a big effort. It's been growing quite a bit. It's doubled each in terms of how many entries we've been screening over the last couple of years. And we've gotten an immense amount of support from the industry in terms of finance and also intellectual support. Okay. And let me just jump right into exactly what we're looking at. So as far as disease severity variables, we look at vascular staining of the roots and at foliar severity of the disease. We use a really simple and compressed scale of 0 to 5. 0 meaning no symptom at all, and then 5 meaning death of whatever organ we're looking at. Okay, and the same goes for the foliar rating system. And the reason I have those two bullet points up there perform better than Phytogen 802 and show agronomic promise is that Phytogen 802 over the years has been our benchmark. Perform better than Phytogen 802, then you're doing good. You've got something to look at. But then in terms of making these recurrent selections and having something that we can release to the public that's going to be economically viable for growers, we also want to look for these agronomic traits, so yield quality and quantity. Now, the whole of our breeding program for any given entry will start with the introduction of new material from a collaborator. It goes through field level screening, and then we make our selections, and that will increase the pressure on those selections within the greenhouse through artificial inoculation, and it might go through several more levels of field screening and greenhouse screening with artificial inoculation. Ultimately, we'll take some of those selected lines and cross them with some new introductions or with some other selections that we've made recently. Hopefully, we come out with something at the end that we can start putting into clean fields and testing for their yield and fiber quality, and then have a release. Okay, I'm going to focus on just two small components of our field experiment this last year, where we've got two groups that I'm gonna talk about. One was an F6 RIL population of Pima S6 by S7s, and another was a collection of just under 100 different upland varieties from the USDA germplasm collection. Okay. Now, before we start analyzing our rating data, we want to make sure that what we're looking at kind of fits the bill of what we're supposed to see. So here you've got a graph that's showing, it's just a histogram, where we're looking at the number of entries that are coming up with means of these vascular stain ratings across the bottom. Okay, and then those yellow marks are where we expect to see, and then where we ended up seeing this year are commercial varieties that we use. So to narrow down the focus, when we look at just the Pimas that I was mentioning earlier, the F6 population, and we look at the vascular staining, this is the distribution we get. It's a little bit spread out. You get ratings from 0.6 all the way up to 2.7, and it's not necessarily a normal curve, but it looks like what we would expect from an RIL population this size. Same rating system, but for the uplands, has a little bit narrower of a distribution, centralized around a rating of 2, and this is what we would call in the field what a 2 vascular rating would look like, is a nice continuous dark streak right down the vascular center of the root. As far as the foliar symptoms go on the Pimas, we're skewed really far to the left in that they don't really tend to show the severity in foliar symptoms that we see in the uplands. This is that same rating system on the uplands, so you can see that the uplands just show that a greater tendency towards severity. All right. Now, we wanted to look at how all of these variables are related. So not just the disease variables that we look at, but also some of the growth and development variables. And this is just a table of correlation coefficients. Okay, I've made bold all of the correlation coefficients that are 0.5 or higher, just so you could see. But what I want you to focus on is the left two columns. Those are our disease columns, foliar severity and vascular severity. And this is a table of correlations for Pima. There's a lot of strong correlations with those disease variables and all of the other growth and development variables within Pima. And what I've highlighted are two of the relationships that I'm going to focus on a little bit more closely later on. Now, when you look at that same table, same analysis done on our upland population, it's not so strongly correlated with all of those variables. We wanted to take a closer look, see what's going on. Okay, so we ran a linear regression analysis on the foliar severity versus the root staining severity, and this is for our Pima population. You can see a strong correlation, positive correlation between foliar severity and vascular root stain, highly significant. But when we put, and then as expected, when we put vascular staining severity against survival at 8 weeks, in other words, some expectation of what we're going to lose in stand, there's a strong negative correlation. There's that same relationship shown for upland, not necessarily as steep of a slope, but the same response. And then also less steep of a slope, but the same response for vascular staining as it relates to stand loss in upland cotton. Now, it's a little bit confusing to me even, so bear with me. What I'm going to explain here is that we wanted to see how effective we were at actually kicking out the poor performing lines or keeping in the lines that we thought were doing well. So with a really small disease rating scale that goes from 0 to 5, there's a chance for you know, kicking out something that's good, keeping something that's bad, wasting a lot of effort or losing a good resource. So I thought, what if we put the symptom severity and plot it against the coefficient of variation for each of those entries that we look at, and think of the coefficient of variation as a proxy for the precision of our measurements in the field. In other words, when we go out and give a rating of 2.5, is everybody giving a rating of 2.5? Are all of those plants getting something that's close to 2.5? What this graph shows is that, at least for Pimas, and we're looking at the vascular staining, whenever the rating is lower, or when the symptom severity is lower, there's a little bit more variability in our decisions in assigning a score of symptom severity. So if you look at maybe the left half of that graph, those are the ones that we would keep and then put through recurrent selection, because these are the ones where there's a chance for escape. Maybe they did well because they weren't experiencing the right kind of disease pressure, or maybe there was a problem in actually rating. And over to the right, we feel really confident in kicking those out and that they consistently performed poor. Now the uplands, you see this glob all centered around 2.0. That's actually what you'd expect to see if you recall the histogram of vascular severity for upland, where everything was just kind of centered right on that 2.0 line for vascular staining. So the same relationship with the Pima foliar symptoms, a little bit more of a precipitous drop at those lower ratings. And then the same thing for the upland foliar symptoms. What that means essentially is that we've done a good job, according to ourselves, in kicking out these lines that aren't performing well. And this is important to us in that over the last 3 years, we've looked at over 1,000 different lines. So it's not to say that we want to hurry up, but we want to be very efficient at focusing our efforts on the ones that are going to give us promise. Okay, so once we get those, take all those lines that we believe have performed well in the field that year, then we take them and put them in the greenhouse and either confirm the results. In other words, like we experimentally inoculate them and we'll confirm that they've done well, or they might get kicked out again. We make recurrent selections from the ones that perform well, and then we'll plant them back out in the field again. So what this all amounts to is what we've got coming out of California is we're in the advanced stage of release for our SJ Pima lines. We're releasing some Uzbek type Pimas, and starting last year, we've got some newly introgressed upland varieties using the resistant Pima source of PS6. And for those lines that have gone through recurrent selection for the last couple of years, we expect them to start moving into fiber and yield testing. So in summary, we believe that we've got a really precise method of kicking out the poor performing lines and continuing to do recurrent selection on the ones that we believe are doing well. But we still strongly feel that this data shows that recurrent selection is absolutely important for this project, and that in no way have we come up with some sort of method of compressing that selection process to only 1 or 2 years. There aren't any highly resistant upland varieties yet, but we believe we've got some contenders in the pipeline, especially some new ones that have been introduced, but also ones that were introgressing with resistant Pima. And I wouldn't be a good extension advisor if I didn't end with the recommendations that growers should always continue to plant those resistant varieties, and be a good neighbor and be good to yourself and use good field sanitation in a FOV4 infested field in California. And I think you should visit all the posters because they're all great, but I want to self-promote here. Terry Lee, the other research associate in this group, has put together a poster that shows a little more of the continuity of this program and shows a lot more of the progress of our recurrent selection process. So if you want to check that out and see exactly how many entries we've gone through and what we've come down to and how they're performing on an individual basis, it'd be great for you to go check that poster out. I need to acknowledge everybody that's open their wallets and open their doors and put their hands into this project. You've made it what it is, and it's grown quite a bit, and it wouldn't have happened without you. And I can take any questions if there are any. Yes, sir.
You said with that Type C money, are you actually referring to a FEMA, or are you referring to a Barbadance from Uzbekistan?
I believe it's a Barbadance from Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The question was, what is the current proportion of upland to Pima that's grown? I don't know what the exact proportion is, but upland to Pima, we're getting close to zero. Do you have an exact number, Bob?
Acreage in California.
Acreage of upland to Pima in California?
I mean, it's probably in excess of 80%.
Okay, thank you, folks.